Welcome. This is The Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us. Phase 2, Ephesians 2.0. Well, no, it's the second lesson in our new study here. Welcome back to Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky.
Good to be here.
The senior fellow of Wrestling with the Basics.
That's right. That's right. We got Matt Youngblood, and then we got the old guy, me.
Well, I have to warn you, you know, the guy who comes in tomorrow is at great risk. Because the last time you were here, you're a guy that likes the microphone.
I love to hold it in my hand.
You twist the little thing.
Feel it, yes, and tighten it up.
The guy who came in for the Bible study the last time you were here, the day after, that thing fell right off into his lap.
So you think I was responsible for that? I twisted it too much? I'm just trying to tighten things here. I don't want it to fall off.
We prefer not to injure our pastors physically. You know, hurting them emotionally is another story.
But physically, no, we're trying to avoid lawsuits.
Pastor John Lukomsky, you know him. You love him from Wrestling with the Basics with Pastor Matt Clark, who is my pastor from Ascension Lutheran Church, and you serve at Trinity, which is in Darmstadt, and then New Athens is St. Paul.
St. Paul's, that's
in
right.
Illinois. Yep. Well, welcome back. Good to have you. It's been a little while.
Good to be here.
I took a little break.
Yeah, that's right. We were I'll tell you a real quick funny story. So we go to Minnesota to visit my wife's kids, and it's sub-zero all the while we're up there, and all I can think about is, let's get back home. Let's get where we can see the ground,
because
everything's covered with snow. It's all. I want to see the ground. I want to feel those warm temperatures, and we came back last Saturday to this 0 degrees, six, 7 below, and the foot of snow.
If you stayed up there, maybe it would have stayed up there with you. I don't know. Other than that, all is well?
I've got to tell you about the big play. This is the weekend. Everyone's been waiting. This is our annual dinner theater that we're doing at the Progressive Grange. Be Your Age is the name of the play. It was a Broadway play back in the 50s.
Be Your Age,
yeah.
Now I've heard Act Your Age.
Well, it's kind of along the same thing. And I play an older person. Professor who falls in love with one of his students.
Now that's going to take a lot of acting on your part.
Well, see, I'm feeling I was kind of typecast in terms of that particular role. But I fall in love with her, and we're going to
get married. So this is an amorous adventure, huh?
Well, there's a little amorous in it. I actually do kiss a girl. Yeah. They don't give me that opportunity much in my theater experience.
Did your wife have to sign a waiver? What's going on here?
Well, she's aware of it. I told her about it. But it's just a cute. It's
now I know
cute,
why you love acting.
Play. But can I give a phone number here? If anyone,
I wish you give all the information out.
All right. Well, here's the details. If you just want to come and see the play, we have performances on Thursday and Friday night of this week at 7:30. If you'd rather come and eat with us, and we do have just a really marvelous meal plan prepared by the Grange members down there in Southern Illinois, that's Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Is when the meal will start. Play at 7:30. Sunday at noon, we have a matinee for all the people that don't like to get out at night. You can come out on Sunday. Meals at noon, plays at 1:30.
Do you know what's on the menu?
I think we're having roast beef and bratwurst. Ooh. And all the fixings, of course. You got your sauerkraut and your mashed potatoes and your green beans.
For those who don't know, for the uninitiate, I've been attending, don't remember the name off the top of my head, the Grange. It's right next to Eckert's in Belleville.
Oh, yes.
Some marvelous.
Turkey Hill.
Yeah. What is a Grange? Tell people.
Well, this is a farmer's organization. They were really kind of popular back in I think, probably in the 50s, about the time that this play was written.
Yeah.
And they've still hung on, and they've got all kinds of activities. And so we've kind of combined with them. They fix the meals, and then our open house theater, we provide the entertainment.
Sort of an agricultural version of a country club.
Yeah, and we've been doing this for about, 25, 26 years. Wow. This has been a long time.
And the desserts, you guys.
Of course, all homemade desserts as well.
Wonderful stuff. You should go.
Yeah, really you should. And it'll be a good time. And like I say, come see the play Thursday and Friday. If you want a meal, come Saturday night or Sunday at noon. And the number, if you want to get more information, directions, want to reserve tickets, we'll even give you a place right up there in front if you want to reserve tickets. It's 618-475-3248. That's 618-475-3248. 3248. And seriously, this is probably one of the better performances we've done. Our old director, Dick Petrowich, is back. He's the guy that actually started the community theater some 26, 27 years ago. And just a top-notch cast. It's just... it's got to be a lot of fun. So thank you for giving me a chance to plug that.
If you don't venture out far from the city limits or the suburban limits, and that's where you conduct most of your daily life, get out in the country once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great folks. There's nothing like going to a Grange where you're eating brat that was walking out in the yard the other day.
That's right. It's all fresh.
It's all fresh.
That's right.
You
these
do
farmers,
not know. God bless the grocery stores. You can't get by the snowstorm without them. But let me tell you, it's a different world out there, and it's great to experience, especially if your kids haven't gotten out there.
And you just come to New Athens, and you go south on Baldwin Road. It's 2 miles south on Baldwin Road. And again, Google us or give that number a call, and we'll get you set up.
And as the duck flies... from St. Louis, if you'd left right here at the International Center right now, about how many minutes?
I'd say at less than an hour.
Yeah,
less than
bad.
An hour.
Yeah, that's an easy ride, especially if you go to the afternoon performance.
Oh, yeah.
Very easy ride.
Yeah. You can go to church and then come down and see us.
Now, your assignment today is Ephesians 1, 7 to 14.
Right.
Are you satisfied with this text, sir?
I am. In fact, can I say a couple of things about this text before we begin?
First
of all, I really love this text because you and I don't think you and I have ever talked about this. It hasn't come up. But I am both the founder and president of the Forgivenitarian Church.
I know.
Oh, you knew that.
Well,
okay.
I've been a fan of Wrestling with the Basics for a while.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, good. And this, of course, is one of the key Forgivenitarian Church texts. Because, everybody has to have some kind of central focus in their religion. For some people, it's how we worship. That's the really crucial thing, that you get the worship just right. For other people, it's the obedience. It's the works that follow upon our Christianity. For other people, it's the evangelism, that we get the word out and everything. And as a Forgivenitarian, I'm not against any of those things. I think they're all important. But for the Forgivenitarian Church, the chief and foremost thing is that we are forgiven by Jesus Christ. And that's how we judge everything. Everything we do, we judge on that basis. And of course, that's what this whole text you give me is all about, forgiveness.
And I love the sign out in front of the church.
Do you?
That's right. It says,
you like that.
It says, your first two sins forgiven free with paid membership.
No, because that's the heart. Every sin, all sin is
all
forgiven.
All sins, okay.
And the language that Paul uses here, this is just such a stupendous text, because every word has been carefully chosen to emphasize that point, that everything you've ever done wrong in your life that might separate you from God and eternity in heaven has been totally taken care of by Jesus Christ. Yeah, absolutely. Nothing left.
There are people out there I could go and hit right now, and it's okay.
Well, no, we're not recommending that.
Well, you said
didn't
all
say it
of
was
them.
Okay. I
mean,
just
if I get a free pass, let me tell
forgiven.
You, I got stuff to do.
See, that tickles me, because Paul preaches the gospel so profoundly in his letters that people were actually saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
I challenge the church today to ask yourselves, are we preaching it so powerfully that people would draw that conclusion?
That we want to go out and hit each
are.
Other? I think yes.
Well, I guess we are doing that, aren't we? All right, so that's point number one.
That's wonderful.
Point number two, did you talk about what these verses are last week? Yesterday, not last week, yesterday, about what this is?
It's an epistle to the Ephesians?
Well, no, the set of verses that you've given me, because I didn't know this. This is why I'm sharing it to you. And I thought, well, maybe you talked about it yesterday, and I don't want to belabor it.
Enlighten the grasshopper, master.
Well, that this is an extended doxology to the Holy Trinity? Did you talk about that?
We did not get into that yesterday, because, well, sadly, with Pastor Troxell, gave him the assignment of starting this.
Oh, well, then you've got to
see, now here's the problem. We did talk about this in this sense, that unlike Romans, which we took very methodically, verse or two at a time, we want to go through this study just a little bit faster for the sake of the listeners.
Yeah.
So we kind of touched on it very briefly, but it was hard. It's going to get harder and harder to condense all this into 1 hour.
I don't know how we're going to get it, what you're giving me, and we've only got, like six or seven verses, like that?
But run with that for a moment. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's pray before we get too far away from that.
Yes, maybe we should.
And then we'll get to the doxology, because it is important.
And before we pray, though, can I make one more preliminary comment? Because this is up to you, because you're I don't see where the clock is. I have no idea what we're doing here. But before we're at the end, the final verse that you assigned me, we have to look at that, because it's not a good translation. And I feel responsible for the fact that you guys are using the English Standard Version. I mean, I didn't really, but I've been blamed for the one that is imposed. That was the phrase often
John Lukumsky imposed standard. ESV. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, there's a really poor translation at the last verse, and we do need to spend some time talking about that. So don't let me get rambling that we don't have time for that. All right, let's pray. Oh, Lord, I just do want to thank you. I've been on vacation. Maybe that's the thing. You know, you go away and you forget all the wonderful blessings that you've given unto a pastor because he gets to study the Word of God regularly and faithfully day in and day out. But I thank you for the good things by your Spirit that you've shared with me and with all of our listeners through these words of Ephesians. And may we find comfort and strength for the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to join us this morning, the email is up and running. Let me make the official studio click. Yes, there it is. It's up and running. All the lights are green. KFUO at KFUO.org. Or dial in 314 area code 821-0850. 314-821-0850. If you're in the St. Louis area, leave off the 314. Outside, give it a shot. Other numbers we're working on, you know that story. Not going to waste any time on that again.
Okay.
All right. Now, what is a doxology and why is this an extended doxology to, you said, the
Trinity. The Holy Trinity. Okay, well, see, I've read Ephesians before. We do this in church with some regularity, and I just took it for granted. And so then I'm reading through this, and I notice that he keeps using this phrase, praise of his glory. Did you notice that? That phrase keeps popping up.
I see, when you say doxology, I think about praise God from whom all blessings flow.
That's exactly
praise
what a doxology
all creatures
is. Yes, it is a prayer of praise to God.
I get it.
But what's remarkable here is this is a praise to the Holy Trinity. Well, read the first verse. I know we're actually read verse 3. I know we're not all supposed to go back in my contract.
Ephesians 1, 7-14.
Yes.
Now I have to reach over and get my Bible.
Oh, now you have to actually open up something.
You know, your contract is the text assigned. I deal with the text assigned. And what's the first thing you do coming back from vacation? You make me get my Bible and go to the
open
text.
Open it up.
That was not
I see
assigned.
You've got it bookmarked, though. I'm impressed.
I do. I'm well prepared for almost nothing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's all we need to know. So the doxology just starts with a word of praise about God the Father. Okay. And read verse 6.
Verse 6, and of course I'm using the microscopic print version of the ESV. Let's see here. He predestined for adoption of sons.
You're getting
I can't
there.
See the numbers.
That's verse 5. I know, it's a little
here we go. To the praise of his glorious grace,
so there it
which
is.
He blessed.
The,
I'm sorry.
So the glorious praise, that's the Greek there.
Footnote.
That's the phrase. Yes.
Footnote.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Lutheran Study Bible, large print edition, weighs just under 60 pounds, which is why I struggle with the micro print
edition.
Yeah,
no, I had the large print too, and I could never lift it up off my desk. So there it is, God the Father, glorious praise to God the Father. Then the section that you and I are going to deal with in detail is all about Jesus Christ. And if you'll read now verse 12. Yeah.
You're not going in any particular order here, are you? You're making this up as you go along. I can tell. So that we who were the first hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory.
There it is. Again, the glorious praise. Now, so we talked about Jesus, and we got glorious praise for Jesus. And then the whole thing wraps up with the next verse, verse 13 and 14. Go ahead.
In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. And see how the verse concludes, and after talking about the Holy Spirit.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
The glorious praise again. There's your doxology to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just wanted to share people with that because I've been reading this for a year and just think Paul's rambling on. Don't you get the impression of the reading? He's just rambling. But actually, no, he's thinking through what he's saying here, and he begins this book of Ephesians, not Ephesians.
That's the neighboring congregation.
Yeah, that's right. And there's so much confusion about the Ephesians and the Ephesians. But anyway, here we have a praise to God, Father, and Son, the glorious praise. And so we realize that Paul's got this all thought out. Everything we're given here is not just some random thought that pops in his head. It's almost like maybe the Holy Spirit's inspiring him. You get that impression?
Yeah, I get that impression. And the other thing that it brings to mind is that we do not live in an age where people think much about what they say.
Oh,
especially before they text it out to somebody else.
Now, you didn't have to bring that up in reference to wrestling with the basics.
No. What do you mean? Well, I didn't say they were wrestling.
That's kind of characteristic of our show. We don't always really think about what we're saying.
Yeah, but you make that work. You do.
But thank heavens that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doesn't just say whatever comes off the top of his head, but we have a very
organized
presentation.
Brother, how do you think I get through these hours every day? This isn't me.
No, that's exactly
right. Do you really know me?
That's exactly right.
You know, and I'm the guy who goes home every day. My wife says, didn't you listen to your own program? Yes, dear.
And that is so true, Roland. And it's not a joke. It's the absolute truth. If anything good comes out of this show, if anything good comes out of what Matt and I do on Saturday, it always is the work of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. Certainly not through us. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you because like I said, how could it come from me? I didn't even know it was there until all of a sudden I was reading some smart people and they pointed it out to
me. But when you get that, when you can find little nuggets like this that you've overlooked for years and then suddenly they come out to you, there is such a sense of, and you convey this sense of joy.
So it is a sense of joy, and the way you
delight in doing that program on Saturday mornings, 9:05 on KFUO, you know, if you're not listening to it, one simple question, why? You're missing one of the best programs KFUO has to offer.
Well, for one reason, people aren't listening to it because you turned the transmitter off last Saturday.
I didn't turn it off.
So people are calling me, how come I hear your show? And I'm listening on the computer, and it's working fine on the computer.
Well, stream it. That's always the the best plan to stream it.
Yeah. We got, because the same thing we're going to see in the rest of this text, there's not a word in here that Paul has not carefully chosen to convey to us the good news that our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the thing that I put up. I don't know if you had a chance to look at Facebook. I know you have a presence there.
I don't believe in Facebook.
Little graphic I put up today was a cross and sort of a blotchy bit at the bottom. Clearly sort of finger-painted in blood.
Okay.
A cross,
awesome.
And then imposed over the top of that sort of wash of blood at the bottom is for you.
There you go.
And that's the word that jumped out at me as I was putting this together was the word blood. And then this last verse that you talked about, the guarantee of our inheritance, and the word that came to my mind was doubt.
People
who doubt.
Yeah.
And can we really trust what Paul is telling us here?
Yeah.
So that's the direction that I took.
And that's a great direction to go in. And again, a direction I believe that probably was brought to you by the Holy Spirit, because that's what this is all about. Why? You don't have to doubt. In fact, here's the really great thing. Go ahead, doubt if you want.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change the reality between what has been done for us by Jesus Christ.
Well, here's my first question for you.
Okay.
As you can see on my 400 page. Yes, I do.
I
surprise.
Well, you can throw those out.
What's the difference
here,
explain this. What is the difference between knowing you're forgiven and believing you're forgiven?
Ah, okay. Well, let's do the text and see if Paul answers
any particular verse you want to start with?
Well, where we're supposed to start.
All right.
Okay.
One at a time or go right through all of it?
Well, I'll stop you. You know how that goes.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace.
All right. Now I just got to take this verse apart because at first it seems like he's just being redundant. Right?
No.
You got forgiveness. You got redemption. Sure. You got grace. See, Paul, come on. Make it simple for us. Sum it up in one word. Do we have to have all of this language? But again, all of these words have been carefully chosen by Paul to give you a crucial teaching in terms of dealing with your doubt. So the first word that's used there, what's the first big word that's used there?
Redemption.
Redemption. Okay. What's redemption, Roland? You got
that's
questions.
You
I'm taking over,
that's when
buddy.
You, that's when you take the stamps down to the store and you cash them in for a TV set.
That man, you have dated yourself there. There are a lot of people that have no idea what you're talking about.
I know.
But that's right. Yeah, we used to get the stamps at the
Joy
grocery
the
store.
That's
go
what
down,
it
we get a coffee maker or something like that.
Right.
Redemption literally means to purchase something, to buy it back. Okay. I think probably the term where we would use it most often would be in kidnapping situations, right?
Yeah, ransom.
Talk about paying a ransom. Yeah. That would be a synonym of the word redemption or ransom. So somebody's taken something that's precious to us and you've got to pay a price to get it back. Of course, the irony here, the one that we're paying is actually God the Father himself, because he is the one that's called upon you and me to be holy. And it said, if you're not holy, then you're going to spend an eternity in hell.
So who kidnapped us?
Well, God is the one. God's justice, I guess, is what has kidnapped us. The law is what has kidnapped us. That's probably what we need. The commandments that demand do this and you'll live, see? And we're not doing it, and that's the problem. So there has to be a redemption, a ransom paid. made. And of course, the beautiful thing here is the ransom, as you said, in your little drawing that you put up on the Facebook is what?
Blood.
Blood. Okay, so you take Christ out of it, and that's what this is all about, remember? Yesterday, you got to do the whole business about praise of the Father. We're doing praise of Jesus and a little bit about praise of the Spirit. So you got to have Jesus. There's got to be blood. You take away the shed blood, and then you and I, we're helpless against the law and its condemnation.
With all the things the world has to offer that is Satan's domain.
Yes.
All the things that can take us away, separate us from God, distract us from what the true is, and draw us to the false. Why is doubt the best weapon he has? It's the first weapon he uses in Genesis.
Well, of course, that's what he came to Adam and Eve. He said, you know, well, gee, if you want to be like God, and of course, they're already like God, which is, of course, the whole essence of doubt. It causes you to question something that is already established and true, okay? But you're right, that's the chief, and of course, it's the chief weapon because it's the only thing that counts. Your sins are forgiven. So the sins you've done are not going to separate you from God. That has been redeemed by the blood. But if the devil can get you to reject that, well, then, he in the end will have his way. But that brings me to the next term, see? So we got redemption. I'm thinking that's enough. Let's move on to the next verse, Paul. But what's he say after the redemption of the blood?
The forgiveness of our trespasses.
Now, you know what the difference is between the redemption in the blood and the forgiveness of the trespasses? There's a crucial difference between those two things.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know this. I'm just sharing with you stuff that's new to me.
Well, see, I would have taken it as sort of just an emphasis, a repetition.
Exactly.
For
that's
sake.
He's just being. And my wife hates repetition, so if she was the school teacher that was editing, she'd say, "Well, just leave that out. Well, that's too much. Yeah. You know, we just need to." Here's the difference. Who has Jesus Christ redeemed?
Me.
Just you?
Well, I can't be speaking for anybody else.
You can. Yes, you absolutely can. God so loved the
world.
All right, everybody got redeemed.
Yes.
When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that blood paid for everybody's sins. There's nobody excluded. And I'm getting excited about this because I'm afraid half the time we Christians run around and act like that isn't true.
You're right.
That's right. You know those Muslim people over there? Do you think God doesn't want to save them? Do you think Jesus didn't die for them? Of course he did. All right?
Yeah.
So the redemption is what Jesus Christ has done for all the sins of everybody that's ever existed in this world. I don't care what you call yourself. That redemption has paid for your sins. But the forgiveness is what you were talking about before. And by the way, isn't it interesting that it begins with the word for? Yeah. For you is what you said. See, that's the forgiveness of the trespasses. That's when the redemption
that's
which
right.
was done
that graphic
for all the world.
Worked so well for what we're going to talk about.
And, and now it's yours. Now it belongs to you, which is what God wants everyone to know, that it belongs to them. That's the only thing that will make him happy is when everyone knows that what Jesus did in terms of the redemption by the blood is actually yours in the forgiveness of your trespasses.
But how do I know that blood is enough?
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that when we get to the end. In fact, Paul addresses that very issue. How do you know that? How do you know that the redemption by the blood is now your forgiveness of your trespasses? And by the way, one quick thing. What's the third word that he has in here before we have to go on break?
The third word?
Yeah. Forgiveness, redemption, and grace.
Ah, okay.
All right.
See, there are a lot of words that came between that. I had to read through them all.
And it's in the fine print.
You know I'm slow. Stop.
Here's a partial answer to the question you just raised. The one thing we do know is that nothing that you've done will interfere with that, because it is a thing of grace. And grace, by definition, means that it is something given you even though you don't deserve it.
Unmerited
that's right.
favor.
Unmerited. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we're not concerned about how good you are. We're not concerned about what you've done. We are concerned about, however, that you understand two things, that there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God. He did suffer and die on the cross, shedding his blood, so that the whole world could be bought back, ransomed from the law, which has condemned us to hell and damnation, and that what he wants you to do is to know that that's true for you. That your sins have been forgiven, and that it's all a thing of grace. You don't have to worry about that you got to do something to deserve this or earn it or pay for it. No, by very definition, it's just what he's giving you, because that's what grace is all about. It's about a gift that has been bestowed upon you.
You know, the Romans were pretty well adept at killing people.
Yes,
They'd come up with, they had taken from all those who had come before them and improved upon the ability to kill people in really rude and ugly ways. So they could have, they could have drowned Jesus. They could have hung Jesus, but yet it's important that the blood was shed.
Yeah.
When we get
back
from this break, you're going to have to explain why the blood is so critical in all of this.
Sure. Well, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Yeah, that all what has to do with it, sacrifice.
Join us this morning, 314-821-0850. Try the email. It works great. I'm getting all this stuff sent to me that has nothing to do.
Is that right?
No, I don't want to buy any more of those pills. But you can send us one. KFUO at KFUO.org. We will be right back. Stick around.
Author Tim Gagline, who served as the special assistant to President George W. Bush, talks about the importance of KFUO.
KFUO is in the middle of the culture. And if you want to impact culture, you have to be in it. I think that we owe the best that is within us to our country, culture, and civilization. And now with the advent of the internet to the world, how do we find new ways to the rising generation of young Americans to share the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection? How do we use our moral imagination? How do we use creativity to get the word out? That's what it's all about. That's what KFUO is doing. It is making it new. It's saying, here is our great legacy and our great heritage as Lutherans who are privileged and honored to live in this country. I love KFUO for that reason.
On the radio, online, and on demand, worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Welcome back. It's the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. And this man, the man with the hands all over the microphone.
Yes, I'm just making some final adjustments before we came back from the break. I feel comfortable now.
St. Paul and Trinity Lutheran Churches in Southern Illinois, one in Darmstadt, one in New Athens.
That's right. And two churches to serve all your needs.
Ever so grateful. We like to mention Wrestling with the Basics, the program you do with Matt Clark on Saturday mornings at 9:05. But really, it's because of the grace of your congregation that you've been able to serve KFUO for so many years.
It really is.
I don't mean to be negligent of that, but I really do appreciate it. So thank them for us.
I do. I thank them personally as well because
this
you're
place
right.
wouldn't be the same without you.
Well, thank
no,
you.
No, really. And that's thank you. Because I grew up, I've been listening to you ever since I was a little boy.
Oh, is that? So you're a lot younger than you look. Is that what you're saying, Roland?
Well, I remember listening to you when you first came on with Chuck and we're doing the Bible study way back.
Yeah.
That's 15?
Oh, yeah.
16?
Yeah.
17?
Roland, I actually was doing that about, 7-8 years before that.
Yeah,
too.
Right. So, you were. Yeah. So you've been around for a long time and the place would not be the same.
Thank you for reminding me that I am the old man of the radio station.
Senior statesman.
Senior statesman. Okay.
Senior statesman. Don't forget the play is.
Yeah.
Coming up this weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Be Your Age.
Be Your Age. 618-475-3248.
Yeah.
If you want to see John Lukumsky live and in person.
Yep.
And no autographs, please.
Funny play. Oh, no. We'll autograph. You want autographs, we'll give them
to
you.
All right. Here's what I left on the table as we went to the break, as we were in Ephesians chapter 1, 7 to 14. The idea of Jesus' blood being enough.
Yep.
You know, the doubt that comes in. For over the centuries, some people have come up with really bright ideas like, well, the blood covered your original sin. Now everything your problem. Or, well, you know, it's too cheap. It's too easy to say that Jesus died. And then talked about...
What? Wait a second.
Hey, my salvation
honest
didn't cost
God.
Me anything.
The Son of God, we're going to butcher him on a cross, shed his blood. That's not enough? What else do you want?
Yeah, but it didn't cost me anything. So now I have to give it value by somehow showing my thanks.
Yeah, there's your ego. There's your problem. Yeah. That's been the deal all along, isn't it? That it's always about you, isn't it? You are the one that is in control. You're calling.
And then blood. We were talking about why the blood. Why Jesus had to die the way he did.
Yeah.
And that's going to drag us back into the Old Testament, which actually put us here in Ephesians because we studied Song of Solomon.
There you go.
And all the references to
how
Ephesians.
How come I missed that? The one with all about, you know, all of the
we knew how
talk.
You treat it, and we thought it would
okay,
be best
that
to...
Probably was, that probably was the work of the Spirit there. Don't bring him in on that one.
Yeah. So why did the blood have to be shed?
Well, because that was the image. From the very beginning, God said the life is in the blood. It's all about the blood. And from the very beginning, God said, well, we need to do something for your trespasses. We need to make sacrifices. The chief and foremost sacrifice, one made in the morning, one made at night, every day was a sacrifice of a lamb. And now, of course, see, here's where people get all messed up, because people think that the Jews then thought that's what saved them, because they made sacrifices day and night. And sad to say, that's what Christians think, because I go to church.
Yeah,
that's
going to
do it. That's my sacrifice, you know, and I gave my 10%. I've made my sacrifice. And of course, that's just all foolishness, because every believing Jew understood, your sins aren't paid for by killing a lamb. That's crazy. That's what the pagans believe, maybe. But no, we're the people of God. We wouldn't believe something as stupid as that. But they all understood that this was a thing that pointed ahead, that someday God would provide the sacrifice. And of course, God's sacrifice would be sufficient. It would take care of everything. There would be no trespasses that wouldn't be paid for by this ransom, our redemption, which then, of course, is why Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, by John the Baptist, the forerunner. And why, of course, then Jesus says, I must go to Jerusalem and be turned over to the hands of sinful men, and I must suffer and die, because that is the plan. It is why Jesus in the garden says, God, could we do something different?
Yeah.
But no, I know we can't. We can't. This is what it's all been about.
So in the old sacrificial system, there was no forgiveness without the shedding of blood.
Right.
And now in the New Testament age, because of Christ, we have perfect forgiveness of sins, whereas the previous was sort of temporary, if you could say it that
way.
It
was all pointing ahead to the one sacrifice. Yeah, and everyone understood that
perfect
this was,
forgiveness comes from the shedding of perfect
that's
blood.
That's right. And it works forwards and backwards. That's the beautiful thing. Once you have the redemption, it works to everyone that's come before, and it will provide that to everyone who will come after. When it is applied to us as forgiveness of our trespasses, again, by grace.
Want to do some more of the text?
I certainly do.
Let's pick
in
up
fact,
at verse
what I'd
8.
Like to do is, let's go through the verses, and I'm telling you, we could probably spend an hour on eat. We could go back and do a whole thing on redemption.
I know.
But I just want to pick out some of the words that the Spirit led me to meditate on.
I'm telling you, it pained me to try and condense this down. I would rather have done this like Romans, but you know, sometimes you have to
move
through
these. Well, I know. That's the thing. We're moving through here.
Well, you know we're thinking about next. You'll enjoy this.
Oh, what?
Zechariah.
Oh, okay. That would be awesome.
That would be, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is. Because there it is, the whole thing about the whole business about Jesus, about what's he coming, what's he doing, what's he going to be like. So, no, that'll be fantastic.
You think I came up with that one on my own?
No, I doubt it.
Right.
As you say, I know you, Roland.
That's right. Picking up in verse 8.
You know me too.
Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ.
I'm going
to
stop you there, because the word I want to look at here is the word mystery.
Mysterion.
But here's the neat. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's the things that are unknown. I think we all understand what a mystery is. That's the thing. You don't know what it is. That's the deal. It's a surprise. We're going to find out at the end of the show. But what does he say about this mystery? It has been made known. And what Paul's trying to do here is, in his day, the big popular religion that everybody was following was called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was all about mystery.
Special stuff.
Yeah, and if you become a Gnostic, you'll learn the mysteries.
The secret handshake.
Oh, there you go. That's right. And the secret password and all of that. And what tickles me is it's the same... Can I say crap on air? You can't say... No, I can't say that. Forget it. I did not say that.
Skubalon.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Learn some Greek. You'll enjoy it.
Learn some Greek. But this is... I mean, the same thing's going on today.
Yeah.
So that one of the fastest religions growing in the world is Mormonism. And the thing about Mormonism, it's all about the... mystery. So we can go down the street here, and there's the Mormon temple, but you and I are not allowed to come in because we're not members of the Mormon church. No, there's a mystery there. You see the same thing with Scientology, right? That's the big thing for the celebrities now. And there's all kinds of things that Ron L. Hubbard has taught us, but only when you achieve a certain amount of donation.
That's right.
I'm sure they wouldn't use that word, but that's pretty much it.
Then you get to go inside the mountain compound and meet Xenu.
Right, when you've spent enough money. And I just want people to say, here's one reason why you like Christianity, because it's all free. We don't want to keep anything hidden from you.
Which is why you want nothing to do with it, because free stuff ain't worth nothing.
Exactly.
Free stuff is worth what you paid for it.
That's right.
Nothing.
And again, that goes back to this whole mentality we have, that it's all about us, all about our works, all about what we're doing. And God says, no, it never was about you. It never was about your works. I'm the creator. You're just the creature. And so here it is. I want to make it known to you. I don't want there to be any mysteries between us. That's the problem, because you are doubting. You are confused. You are wondering, where do I stand before God? Does he love me? What's his plans for my future? And God says, I'm not going to tell you all of that, but I am going to tell you this, that you can know that we're going to go through this together, and then I will never leave you or forsake you. I don't want there to be any mystery about my intentions and my concern and my compassion and my love for you.
One of the hardest things to come to peace with is that when God says something, that's what it is.
Yes. Yes.
So when he speaks and says, let there be light, there's light.
There was. That's right.
You know, when he breathes life into man, there it is.
There is no doubt there.
So when he says, you're okay by me.
Then it is that way. Yes. Yeah.
That's the hardest thing. Again, that really is the hardest thing.
We keep wanting to add ourselves into the configuration. There has to be something that we've got to do. Even the best of us then say, well, okay, yeah, I understand I don't have to do any works, but it is about my faith. When I put my life in the hands of God, then it'll finally work out the way it is. And I'm thinking, God's up there, really? I have to wait for you to put your life into my hands? Don't you understand that the very fact you're breathing is because I'm enabling you to do that? No, you don't have to put your life in my hands. I have your life in my hands. I just want you to believe that. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah, the hardest thing to hear is you're forgiven.
Yes, it is.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, first of all, because we don't think we really need it. Yeah. Because we're really decent people. We're certainly like most of the people on the world, certainly not like those Muslims, you know. And then the second thing is when we finally do realize that we are just evil, wicked, sinful people. This is what we are, people of anger and lust. Then we're thinking, well, how could he forgive us then, see? Hmm. And the devil doesn't care. Either way, he likes it when you feel really proud about yourself, and he likes it when you despair. Either way makes the devil happy.
Either way, he wins.
Yep, that's right. But he's not going to win because God has something to say about it. Let's move on. I got another. Right. Neat word
verse
to share
10,
with you.
As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
All right. The one thing that I discovered as I was reading this passage by Paul, it's all about Jesus. You can't go through a verse here where it doesn't circle around Jesus. Now, unfortunately, the English obscures that. What's the first word there? As a plan. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the word actually says in the Greek?
No.
It's administration. As an administration. Now, here's why that's significant. Because if you have an administration, you have to have a what? An administrator. Right?
Yeah,
that's how it works. You've got an administration. There has to be someone who's administering it.
Well, the president is the head of the administration, as you read in the press.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Our management might be another translation.
True.
Management.
Yeah.
And again, if you have a management, that means you have a manager. All right. So he's not talking about some obscure plan out there. All right.
Yeah.
Like the mystery religions would talk about, there's some kind of plan going on. No, he's talking about that there is Jesus. He is the planner. He is the manager. He is the administrator.
And that's a great tie to the parable of the manager.
Yes. There you go. Exactly. Now, here's the other thing. So what is the plan? What is the manager going to do? What is the administrator going to accomplish? He's going to unite us.
Unite all things in him.
But again, that obscures the point of that person. What that word means is to put all things under one head. In fact, that's what it literally means in the Greek. Something about kephalo. I don't know. But just trust me on this, that it means to put everything under one head. And again, of course, what is Paul thinking about when he thinks about putting everything under one head? It is, again, Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm just saying the language here just demands that there be the person of Jesus Christ who shed his blood for us.
Right.
Although, can I share with you just kind of a little interesting sidelight?
Oh, yeah.
The Greek word there for unite is also a mathematical term within Greek when you take a column of numbers and add them up. Okay.
There's no math in theology.
Well, apparently there is, because the word here, unite, means to take a column of numbers and add them up. You know, like on your Excel spreadsheet, you got everything under one column, and you add it up.
So, like an accountant might say, you're going to justify.
Well, there you go, justify it. Yeah. Although the commentary that I read that I thought was cute, it said, see, in our lives, things don't seem to add up.
Right.
But when you put yourself under the head of Christ, everything adds up.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, there's the things that are neat about that word, I thought. And everything, by the way, in heaven and earth. There's nothing that's excluded again. See, you want to divide it up into packages, those people that God has plans for and those people that God doesn't have plans for. That's not the program. God has plans to unite us and him, heaven and earth, to unite all of us as Christians here on the earth as well. Yeah, that's what he wants. And it's all under, again, the management and the headship of Jesus Christ.
So that's all of creation.
Oh, yes. Now you're tempting me to get to the mistranslation at the end of this verse, but I'm going to hold myself back. But like I said, make sure we got time to talk about the last verse of this text, because there's a terrible mistranslation.
All right.
You're right. It does have to do with the fact that it's about not just about Roland. It is about Roland, but it is about all creation.
In him, verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, there's that word again.
Yes.
According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will.
Okay. Now, all right, again, God give us time to accomplish this. First of all, the word obtained actually means to appoint or allot something. Okay.
All right.
And so it's the perfect word to go with an inheritance, because your inheritance is something that has been appointed to you, right? It's been allotted to you. But inheritance, of course, is the word that I love, and we've done this before, but I will do it again for the sake of those that weren't paying attention. What is the two things that need to happen in order for you to receive an inheritance, Roland Lettner? There's only two things that need to happen for you
Someone
to receive an inheritance.
Someone must die.
Ah, yes.
They must croak, assume room temperature, whatever you want to call
That's
it.
That's right, because until there's a death, there is no inheritance. We have a trust. We have a living trust that I've set up for my kids. And it was interesting. The lawyer said, you need to understand that this trust means absolutely nothing until you die.
Right.
Oh, thank you. So it's not really a living trust.
Nope.
It's a dying trust. But anyway, and of course, the bells go off as Christians, and we're thinking about again. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Shed the blood. So that's to be death. Yeah. What's the other thing? And again, this isn't absolutely necessary for you to receive an inheritance. It doesn't have to, but it usually is the pattern of things. In fact, if it goes to the courts, this is the first thing they'll look to.
Someone has to give it to you.
Well, usually you have to be related to them.
Okay.
Right. And in fact, that's how, if it goes to the courts, they'll ask, are you a relation? And if you're not, well, sorry, you don't get anything.
Unless you find Howard Hughes' latest version of his. That's another old-timer's joke.
Yeah, there you go.
It goes back to the 70s. Yeah.
But this, of course, relates to all the beautiful promises that God has made that we are now his children. Right? What does Jesus do? He goes to prepare a place for us in our father's mansion.
Mansions.
But now you've still keep raising the question. How do we know that? How do we know that we're the sons and daughters
of
God?
Are you really sure?
How do we know that our trespasses are forgiven? You're right. Well, let's see if Paul has any more answers to us.
Let me interrupt you for 10 seconds.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do need to talk about predestination, but go ahead.
What do you want to talk about? Completely different.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
I always have to do this. Because when the email comes in from the big office down the hall,
all things
come to a stop
because
all the world wants to know who is listening to the Bible study.
Oh, there we go. So who is listening right at this moment?
16 countries, including Norway.
Ah,
if
they
my buddy
love
Saul
us
is
Norway.
Listening, good morning, Saul. Yeah. Good afternoon. Hong Kong and Taiwan.
Is that right?
And 38 states working our way up to all 57, including Quincy, Effingham, and Wheaton, Illinois.
Is that right? Yeah. Even in Wheaton, Illinois.
Even Wheaton, Illinois. What good ever came from Wheaton, Illinois? We'll get cards and letters for a week.
Thank you. Thank you, Roland. Yes.
Right.
Now we no longer have people listening to us.
The word predestined, we hit that pretty well
yesterday
making
okay.
some distinctions with Calvinism.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
Well, what did you say? Tell me what you said, and I'll tell you whether I want to add
Well,
anything
God does not have a duality of plan.
Okay, it's not a double predestination.
Right. It's not a double predestination. Yeah. He doesn't predestine some. All men, as you said, for God so loved the world.
The world, exactly. Everyone got redeemed.
And if we're not there at the end of time, it's our problem, not his.
That's right. We have rejected what he offered us.
Right.
Okay.
And, he doesn't look down through time and go, that John guy's pretty talented. I've seen him act. We've got a special role for him.
That's right.
That's another story.
In heaven. That's right.
So you go through life never being absolutely sure where you stand.
That's right.
Yeah. That's
And see, the sad thing about that is that's exactly the opposite of the impact of the word predestination. The word predestination has nothing to do about anybody else.
Right.
Okay. But it has to do with you, Roland, that you would know that, yes, it doesn't matter about Roland, who he's done, what he's done. It does matter about that God said, Roland's my man.
Yeah.
Roland's my man. He's the guy. I want him. And other people are saying, what would you want Roland for? What would you want John Lecumsey for? And God says, look, this is my choice. These are the people that I have predestined. They're the ones that are going to get my inheritance. Although, as you keep bringing up, how do we know that? How can we be sure? But again, thank you. Please never use predestination to bring doubt into people's minds. The word predestination in the Bible is to provide you comfort, to remind you that we're going to get to heaven because it's what God's chosen to do. It's not about us, but it is about God and what God has chosen to do. That's the emphasis of the word predestination. All right.
Verse 12.
If you talked about it, let's move on. Yeah.
So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory.
And of course, that's the summary verse that we talked about.
Right.
This is now the summary of the doxology about Jesus Christ.
Right. Two verses left to go, working up to the big one that needs retranslation. 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth.
And let me interrupt you there, because, like I said, everything Paul has, he's put in here because it's important. There's no redundancy here. So now we've been asking the question, how do we know this? How do we know that we are predestined? How do we know that our sins, our trespasses are forgiven? And Paul has given us now the first hint of how we know. It has to do with hearing the word.
You heard the word of truth.
That's right. So if you're not hearing the word of God, then that will be a question. There will be a doubt. That's why I say to people, if you got doubts, just go to church. Don't go to church because it's going to be some goody two-shoes work you're doing, and then God will say, oh, he went to church today, so I think I'll make his life a little easier this week. No, but you go to church because you want to hear what God has to say. So you're a wise man. You've seen a star. You want to go worship the King of the Jews, and you get to Jerusalem, and what's the problem? You don't know where to go. The star disappeared. So where do you turn to? You listen to the word. And the word will tell you where you need to go. Go to Bethlehem, okay? Mm. So that's all I'm saying to people. You just need to hear the word of God, and whatever it is God needs to tell you, he'll tell you. Would you not worry about it?
Right. And truth is not a philosophy. It's not a concept. It's a personification.
Yes.
It's a person. It's Christ.
And isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's what we've been saying over and over again. Yeah. All these words that we've been hearing, they're all about Jesus. Administration, plan, headship, all of that. It's all about Jesus.
And then look at this. The gospel, now I would have expected it to be the gospel of salvation.
Yeah.
But the ESV has the gospel of your salvation.
Yes. See, there it is again. That this is, again, it's the redemption. It's the difference between redemption and forgiveness. I can talk about the good news that God died for all mankind, but the gospel is the good news that he died for you, Roland, and for everybody that's listening to this. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
I'm talking to the people out there now that are listening to us. Do you understand what's going on right now? God is trying to do his best to assure you that you are one of the people that he has predestined. There is no other reason why this radio show exists at this moment. And at the moment we stop doing this, God will either shut us off or it will be meaningless even if we go on rambling. Okay, so that's the whole emphasis of what we're trying to do in the Bible study, is let people know that they are the ones who are redeemed, forgiven, and predestined. Okay? God help us that we'll always be doing that here on KFUO.
Then it goes on to say, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the progression that I like.
Yes, yeah.
You hear.
Yeah.
You believe.
Yeah.
You are sealed.
Yes, yeah. And now, of course, we've got the conclusion of the doxology, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, don't let me ramble too long, because we got to do this.
We got a caller waiting, too. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, because the sealed is what's so neat. This is what really provided me comfort and answers the question, well, how do we know? How do we know that we are the people that are predestined and all this other stuff? Well, the question you have to ask yourself is, have you been sealed by the Holy Spirit? So you're scratching your head saying, well, what does that mean? Do you know what a seal is?
It's one of those cute things at the zoo we like to throw fish to.
Oh, Lord, help me.
You do wrestling with the basics. I just listen.
I think people now at this point can distinguish between the things that just come off the top of our heads and the things that come from Holy Scripture. Thank you for making that distinction so clear.
You always do best construction. That's why I love you, my friend.
All right.
A seal is something you affix to a document or a scroll that closes it up and says, this is official.
I knew you were going to say that, but that's not what the word seal means here. A seal is what they used to put upon cattle, upon slaves, and upon soldiers. Perhaps a better translation would be branding iron. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, branded.
Branded. That's right. That's what a seal is. It's the mark you put on somebody so you know they belong to you.
Ow.
Yeah, ow. You're right. Who said this was going to be easy? Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. Oh. You've been branded, and that doesn't mean life is going to be simple. In fact, it will bring a whole host of new complications. But one thing you will know is you belong to somebody. And so I got to thinking,
you guys wear those funny things around your neck?
Well, that's right. That's a reminder to us that we belong. We're collared.
Yeah.
We're collared like a dog. Yeah. But the seals then, it's really easy. Once you understand what a seal is, it's when you were baptized. That's the seal. God said, at the moment you're baptized, baptism does save you, he says.
That's when you receive the Holy Spirit. Is that your baptism? You were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit.
Isn't that what Peter said? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The other seal then would be the Lord's Supper. And again, it's really clear. Have you ever gone to the Lord's Supper and listened to what's going on? I wonder how many people go to the Lord's Supper but don't pay any attention.
Oh, yeah. I listen all the time.
Well, what are the words that Jesus speaks to you, Roland Lettner, whenever you take the supper? He gives you the bread and the wine, and what does he say to you?
This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed
for the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, and there you have it. So there's the seal. You want to know whether you're God's beloved? Are you baptized? Well, there's the seal. Are you taking the Lord's Supper? Well, there's the seal. Have you been listening to the gospel, as we talked about before? Well, there's the seal. Okay? So if you want to doubt it and question it, go ahead, but just keep remembering that these are the seals that the Holy Spirit has provided for you. And now we've got to get to this last verse where it's unfortunately translated here.
And we have a caller waiting also.
Oh, well.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it? To the praise of his glory.
And see, again, man, we are so sinful. We always want to make it about us, don't we? And so until we acquire. You get out your Greek Bible, you look it up. The word we is not there. It's absolutely not there in the Greek. And here's the really sad thing. And this is, I put this on all the English teachers out there that taught you must use a variety of words. Don't be repetitious. Use a variety of words.
Yeah.
Now, that's fine, I guess, if you're going to write your English essay. But by God, if you're going to translate the Bible, just let the word stand. Do you know what the word acquire is there?
Obtain, acquire?
It's the same word we had just a few verses before. Redemption.
Really?
It's
really?
Redemption. Now, why did they muddle that? Because the point is, this possession has been redeemed. And it's, as you said earlier in the show, it's the entirety of creation.
Yeah.
The whole ball of wax. And of course, are we going to enjoy this? Of course we are. But Paul's trying to remind us again, it's not. It is all about us, and yet it's not about us. It's about God who has come to redeem the entirety of his creation. And as part of that redemption, he wants you. He wants you to be part of that.
You talk about paying attention. So many of these things that we do every Sunday and in our daily lives are just done by rote repetition.
Yeah.
Not because we want to be negligent or we want to disregard what has been given to us, but it's life.
Yes.
It's what happens to you. And that's why it's good to do a check down with a pastor who says, have you noticed?
Yeah.
Oh, look, with the confession, the life of the world to come.
There you go.
That's that full redemption of creation.
The whole business. Yeah.
The world to come. For God so loved
the world.
The world.
The
which
world.
Is where you started us off today.
And see, I like that too, because we're talking about the whole cosmos then. We're talking about everything.
Yeah.
The animals, the earth, the planets, the whole thing has been messed up by sin, and it is God's to redeem. So it's actually his redeemed possession. That's what it's talking about. And by the way, isn't it interesting that it's tied to our guarantee of an inheritance?
Yeah.
See, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get the whole business will belong to us.
Let's end on a quick call.
Yes.
Cheryl, we have exactly 1 minute. Be real quick for me.
Well, Okay. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:19, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And then Isaiah 35:10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. A sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Now take a breath. thanks, Cheryl. Good citation.
And you know, thank you, Cheryl, because you've pointed out to us this is not some obscure teaching in the
right.
first verses of Ephesians. This is the entirety of the Holy Scripture to give us this good news, this gospel about the blood of Jesus Christ that has redeemed the world and has brought to you and me individually the forgiveness of trespasses in the hope that someday the entire possession of God, his entire creation, will be redeemed. It's a great doxology.
I'm
wondering what he's going to talk about from here, but that's a pretty powerful way to begin the book of Ephesians, isn't it, Roland?
It is. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Pastor John Lukumsky, don't miss him with his sidekick, Pastor Matt Clark, Wrestling with the Basics every Saturday morning when the transmitter's on, but you can always stream it at KFUO.org. Wrestling with the Basics, also from Trinity and St. Paul Lutheran Churches, one in Darmstadt, the other in New Athens, Illinois. And don't forget the play coming up this weekend. If you want more information, 618-475-3248.
Thanks, Roland.
Thank you, my friend. All the best. Stay tuned. Lots more yet to come.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study programs at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.